But let us come and seek the Lord in a word of prayer as we come to think upon his word now. Let us just still ourselves again before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to the most solemn and important part of our morning worship service, and we thank thee that we come just after singing of that hymn, ask the Saviour to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And, O God, we need thy help to bring us to the Word of God and to take away distracting thoughts and help us to focus now upon what thy Word would have to say to us today. We thank thee, Lord, for the great company of people in the meeting house this morning and those watching online. And we pray that, Lord, as we come now to consider God's Word, that, Lord, we would know what it is to be shut in with the Lord. Shut out the world, we pray. Shut out all of its distractions. Take away any tiredness and lethargy which we may have, O God, and help us to focus upon thy word. O God, I come in all of my need to thee. I'm not worthy for this task. I'm not able for this task. Lord, my sufficiency, it is not of myself. But Lord, I rejoice that it is of the Lord. I pray that thou wouldst cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Empty me of self and of sin. Fill me with God, the Holy Spirit, to bring thy word this morning. May I be hidden far behind the cross, and may none be seen or heard this day but the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. For it's in Jesus' precious name we do ask and we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Well, let us open our Bibles again, please, to Matthew chapter 26. And in this portion of God's word, I want to draw what I want to say this morning, particularly upon the verses, or from the verse number 41. And there it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he says to his disciples, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We have come this morning to what is a very solemn portion of the Word of God, a portion in relation to the life and ministry of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this portion of Matthew's Gospel, we find the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. And these words specifically, which we have read in our portion this morning, describe how he felt. Describes and tells us what he did there while he was in the garden and what he said unto his disciples as well. And for a few moments, I want us to focus upon verse number 41, and I pray that the Lord will take this word that I believe he's given to me for the service this morning. And as we consider the theme of temptation, I pray that the Lord would take that word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts, no matter how young in faith we are or how seasoned in the faith we may be. Because this, I believe, is a subject which every one of us needs to consider afresh, the preacher and the hearer alike. And I trust that the Lord will help us and speak to us, and that we will all benefit from what he would have to say to our hearts this morning. So as we think about this theme of temptation this morning, I want to think with you first of all about the fact that Christ spoke honestly about temptation. The Savior, he did speak honestly about temptation. Again, verse 41 there says, and he's speaking to his disciples, he says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, as the Savior and his disciples had entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, he had come there to pray unto his Heavenly Father. And we read that earlier in our Bible reading. But if you look with me there to verse 38, we see here that he says, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." That's what he instructed his disciples to do. They were to tarry or remain there with him and to watch. They were to keep a lookout. Now, why did he tell them to tarry there? Why did he tell them to as it were, watch with him? Well, I believe it is because of a temptation. You see, his disciples, we see here, were tempted. That temptation was to sleep. And we have read that they were found fast asleep. Now, what the Savior said to his disciples was basically for them to remain there and to be vigilant. That's what the word watch there in verse number 41 and 38 says, or it signifies. It means to be vigilant. And that is something which we as believers need to be doing. We need to be vigilant today. And we need to be vigilant because, as you know, we certainly are living in a very wicked and evil day. And as believers, this is something which we are not to neglect, not to forget about, but something to be engaged in. You see, the temptation was for these disciples to fall asleep and not to remain vigilant with the Savior. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't go to the garden to sleep, but he went to the garden to pray. As we read there, his soul was exceeding sorrowful. And what did he do when his heart was exceeding sorrowful? He prayed. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning and you can identify with the Savior's words. Your heart is exceeding sorrowful. Perhaps nobody else in this meeting knows whatever's going on in your personal life and circumstances. Or perhaps something has been brought to your memory or brought from your memory and it's causing you to be sorrowful this morning. Well, bring it to the Lord in prayer, dear friend. And as Christians here, we need to be vigilant. This is what the Savior instructed his disciples to do, to be vigilant, that they would not fall asleep. And there he was, I believe, implying for them to be in prayer. They weren't there to sleep, but they were to pray with him, and they were to pray for him. And as he went to pray to his heavenly Father and he came back, of course, we read there and we know that he found them asleep. And then what's interesting, he addresses one of those disciples in particular. Verse number 40 there, it says, "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now we know that Peter, James, and John, those two sons of Zebedee, had went with him a little farther, and he gave them that instruction to tarry there and to be vigilant. But why did he address Peter specifically here in this verse? Well, if you look back with me to verse 33, I believe we will get the answer. Because there it says, "Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And there I believe the Lord singled out Peter in verse number 40 because of Peter's brazenness and Peter's, we could say, zealousness. Oh yes, Peter was convinced and determined that he would not be offended. He was not going to be offended of the Lord and his testimony. But of course we know what the Savior said to Peter, how that Peter was going to deny him 3 times. And there, Peter, I'm sure, had that determination not to fall asleep. And you and I, as believers, we can have that determination not to give in to sin and to temptation. But at times we fall, at times we do yield, and we sin. And there, the Savior addressed Peter specifically, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not have remained in prayer with me and for me, Peter, as you were so determined to do so?" But not only do we see here that the disciples were tempted, but we see that, and I believe as well, that the Savior himself was tempted. If you look again with me here to verse number 38, he prays, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And then he prays to his heavenly Father in verse 39. He went a little further and he fell on his face. Can you picture the scene here? The Lord Jesus Christ is lying prostrate on his face because he's so overcome with sorrow, and he prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The Saviour, he asked if it was possible for this cup, for the wrath of God he was going to face, if there was any other way possible for him to escape it and forgo it. But no, he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And our Saviour, he was fully God and fully man. And I believe here he was tempted even to forgo what he had to endure, was going to endure at the cross, but he didn't. And even as we continue that thought of the Saviour being tempted, I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Let us read together in Luke chapter 4 and the verse number 13. This is a portion of Scripture where the Saviour was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And notice there what it says in verse 13 of Luke chapter 4. And it says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." And I trust that this will encourage you, dear Christian, to think about the fact that not only were the disciples, individuals, followers of Christ that were tempted to sin, but our very Saviour himself was tempted by the devil. And this is why we must speak about the truth of temptation. Not one of us as believers are immune or exempt from going through this experience in our Christian lives as believers. We will be tempted. We will be tested. Just as our Saviour was, just as the disciples were. And that word temptation there in Luke chapter 4 verse 13, it signifies a putting to proof or experience. Now these temptations in Luke 4 were real. Some would say they were not real at all. Some would say that what the Saviour went through there was not really important or significant. But in his humanity, our Saviour was tempted. And in those temptations in Luke 4, where the devil was seeking to put him to the test and to prove that he was the Son of God, of course Satan knew that. The Lord knew that. And the Lord didn't yield to his temptations. Why? Because our Saviour is without sin. He's God and man. Two natures in the one person. The theologians describe this as his impeccability. It was impossible for Christ to sin, yet he faced very real temptations in his humanity, in his state of humiliation. Why? So that he would be identified with his people. Knowing that as his people, we would have temptations to face. And we can take encouragement from the fact that we have a Saviour. We have a great High Priest. We have a Redeemer who was in every point tempted as we are, yet without sin. And he is the one that can truly identify with us in our temptations and in our trials as the people of God. Now perhaps you would ask the question, well, why do I face temptations in this life? What's the very reason or what's the very purpose for it? Well, let me remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And there we read those very familiar words. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, as believers, we are new creatures in Christ. Yes, we were born with a sinful, fallen human nature. But whenever we came by faith to Christ, we received a new nature. The old is gone and the new has come. But that doesn't mean that we won't have to deal with the old nature again. You see, every day in the Christian life is a battle between a threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this is a battle which is in the spiritual realm, which affects us very much in the physical realm. And as we think about the fact that as believers, we live in a fallen and sin-cursed world. And while the devil cannot rob us of our salvation, he cannot pluck any one of us as believers out of the hand of the Lord. What he will seek to do is to seek to get us to fall into sin, to mar our testimony, to grieve the heart of the Lord. And that's why we face temptations. It's not the Lord that tempts us. Who was it that tempted the very Lord of glory? It was the devil, the adversary of his people. And brethren and sisters, let us not be too discouraged or think, why am I going through this, when our very Saviour himself was tempted. Tempted of the evil one. And at times we are tempted by the old sinful nature. The devil will tempt us with different temptations according to whatever we were engaged in the past. And what one temptation may be for you may not be the same temptation that another believer will have to face. But it's something every one of us will have to face. But you know, it's not something which we have to be overcome with. Because the Bible tells us in the book of James in the chapter 4, if you want to turn with me there, please. James chapter 4. It's James chapter 1, verse 13. And there the Apostle James says in James 1, verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And this is something that's very real. And I'm glad to see so many young people in the house of God today. This is something which you especially will face on a day in and daily basis. Whether it's advertising for different products, whether it's scrolling through social media, reading a newspaper, there are so many ways in which we are tempted as individuals and as believers. Perhaps even we're tempted to doubt the Lord and doubt his word. Perhaps we're tempted to even question if the Lord is able even to move today, and the Lord would be pleased to move today. There's so many ways in which we can be tempted to doubt the Lord and tempted to fall into sin. But Christian, take heart in this. Take heart that it's not the Lord. It's not the Lord's will for you to be living as a backslidden believer. It's not the Lord's will for you to lose the joy of your salvation. And even as we think there is what it tells us in the book of James. If we draw nigh to God, James chapter 4, he will draw nigh to us. James chapter 4, verse number 8. But notice here what it says in verse 7. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And that is a promise that you can depend upon from the word of God. Yes, the Savior rebuked the devil with the word of God, saying, "It is written." Oh yes, he came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, do this, do that." Of course, he said, "It is written." And let us be reminded of the importance of having the word of God in our hearts. The psalmist said, "The word of thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119 and the verse number 11, it tells us that. And even as we think about the fact that we can resist the devil, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. And there's the promise, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your minds, ye double-minded. What a promise. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. If we draw nigh to God, God's word promises us that he will draw nigh unto us. You know, whenever the Savior's temptations were over, the angels came and ministered unto him. And the Holy Spirit will come and minister unto your heart, dear believer, in that time. Quickly, let us move on to consider, secondly, Christ's warning about temptation. Again, verse number 41 of Matthew 26, it says here, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, the Savior here, he didn't just experience it himself and then mention it in passing to his disciples. But I believe here he warned them about it. And after he had prayed to his heavenly Father, he came back and he found his disciples fallen asleep. Now, why were they asleep? Was it because they were lazy? No. Was it because that they wanted to disobey the Lord? No. It was because, very simply, they were tired. And this is something which I feel is very important in regards to temptation. The devil and our old sinful nature will particularly seek to tempt us whenever we perhaps are maybe not as close to the Lord as we could be. Perhaps if we're tired, and the disciples were tired because of the preparation for the Passover earlier on that day, and the journey, and even as the Savior spoke with them about the fact that one of them was going to betray them, that all would have had an emotional impact upon the disciples being human beings. And temptations come particularly whenever we are tired, whenever we are downcast and downtrodden, perhaps feeling discouraged, and even perhaps when we're in those places of temptation. The heat of the day, the tiredness of the body, made for a perfect recipe for these men to fall asleep. And certainly we can identify with that. The fact that these men, perhaps they were willing, but they yielded, they fell asleep. And perhaps, believer, you are so determined not to fall into sin. But notice what the Savior said there. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's good and important for us to acknowledge that. Yes, we may have the best intentions. Our spirit, as it says here, indeed is willing, but our flesh is weak. And since our flesh is weak, we ought to cast ourselves upon the Lord, because we need his help, we need his strength to think about that and to overcome the temptation. John Gill made this comment on this verse. He said, in relation to the disciples, "The lateness of the night, it being now probably midnight, but the chief reason of their sleepiness was their sorrow, as is expressed in Luke 22:45, where Christ had said to them of his soul troubles, and what they saw in him had filled their hearts with sorrow, which brought on them an amazement and stupidity of mind, and this issued in sleep." And perhaps you have went to bed and you have been so overcome with sorrow and grief that you have, as it were, cried yourself to sleep. Perhaps that's what happened to the disciples here as well. They were so taken up with the fact that the Savior was going to be betrayed, that he was going to be crucified, and such grief compounded and gripped their hearts to which they had fallen asleep. But whenever we think here, I believe, of Christ's warning about temptation, very simply, I would say here, and what I believe the Savior was bringing across to these disciples here, was that they were not to entertain the temptation. Whenever temptation comes to you and me, dear believer, we are not to entertain it. We're not to give place to it. We are to flee from it. As Joseph, whenever he was tempted of Bathsheba, or Potiphar's wife, Joseph didn't yield to the temptation. but he got himself out there and he fled. Of course, sadly, whenever King David was tempted, he gave in to the temptation. And we see what sorrow and what the consequences were from David giving in to temptation. But Joseph, what an example he was. He flew from the temptation. He got himself out of there. And let us as believers, whenever temptation comes our way, to get ourselves out of there. To not yield ourselves to that temptation. But also, in regards to this warning, I've made mention to it already. Our flesh is weak. We are nothing but finite creatures of the dust. And even I think of what the Apostle Paul said, how that he did those things which he didn't want to do, and he did not those things which he ought to have done. And whenever you think of the great Apostle Paul saying that, acknowledging the weakness of his own flesh and his shortcomings as a Christian, we must acknowledge that as well. That we are not immune from temptation. We are not sinlessly perfect. And we must take heed. We must take heed to this warning as believers. Now, there's a lot of things which could be used to tempt us away from the Lord and to tempt us into sin. But whatever that may be for you may not be the same for me. But by the grace of God, may we not entertain it and cast ourselves upon the Lord, because certainly, while our spirit may be willing, that resolve within us may be very strong, but we must remember that our flesh is weak. And without the Lord, we are nothing, and without him, we can do nothing. But I want to encourage you lastly this morning, because we have here, I believe as well, Christ's instruction for facing temptation. You see, the Savior didn't come down on his disciples like a ton of bricks whenever he found them asleep. But he came and he gave them an instruction here. And what was that instruction? It was to watch and pray, very simply. To watch and to pray. Now, what is he saying here to his disciples? Well, by that word watch there again, it means to be vigilant, to stay awake. And that's another thought from this word, is to stay awake. And if we are, as it were, spiritually sleeping as Christians, well then, we're going to fall into temptation. We're going to sin against the Lord. But if we're awake, if we're vigilant, if we're, as it were, watching out for the temptation coming, well then we're far less likely to fall into sin. But we will be vigilant and be ready to not yield and not to give ourselves to that temptation. Of course, it's not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin to yield to that temptation. Hence the reason why we sang that hymn, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding it is sin." And this is something for every one of us as believers. This isn't just for the preacher. This isn't just for the elders and the workers in this congregation. This is something for every one of you. We are to be vigilant. We are to watch out for the enemy. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. You know, we as believers, we're in the army of the Lord. We're soldiers. And a soldier, they can't be found to be falling asleep on duty. And we can't be falling asleep, as it were, in that sense, in our Christian lives. But notice what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. He says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices." We are not ignorant of his devices. "And he will employ any means he can within his arsenal to attack us and to cause us to fall into sin." That is why we must be vigilant. "Because he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Every one of us as believers, young believer, take that on board this morning. He wants to draw you away from the Lord. He wants to draw you away into the things of the world. And sad to say, many Christians today, They are spiritually sleeping to what is going on around about them. And I'm talking generally, not talking about any specific individual or church, but we must be vigilant, brethren and sisters. We must be watching out for these attacks. A soldier, they go to the battlefront. They are stationed at their post to watch out for the enemy coming, to be prepared for the enemy coming. And we must be prepared. We must be ready with the Word of God. We must be armed with the weapon of prayer and the Word of God to ward off the attacks of the devil. You know, because the Bible tells us that we are to take heed lest we fall. No matter whether we're standing up at the front or the ordinary believer in the pew, we are to be sober. As Peter says, 1 Peter 5, verse number 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Thank God he can't be everywhere at once like the Lord. He's not omnipresent like the Lord, but he goes about seeking an easy prey. Don't let him be, don't you be an easy prey for him today. But be you vigilant and watch, as the Savior commanded his disciples and instructed them. But also he says here to watch and to pray. So whenever the attack comes, what are we to do about it? Whenever that temptation comes, what are we to do about it? We are to pray. First of all, we are to watch, to be vigilant, and then we are to pray. Again, because you and I, we are powerless in and of ourselves. But our help is in the name of the Lord. As we sang at the very start of this service, Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep. No matter what hour of the day or night the temptation comes, believer, our Savior neither slumbers nor sleeps. God isn't tired, God isn't asleep, but his ear is always open unto the cries of his people. And he's able to help you and to strengthen you, as the hymn writer said. Again, as we noted earlier, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And we draw nigh unto the Lord, he will draw nigh unto us. Listen to what it says in Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So there again is those words to watch and to pray. We cannot separate these two. They are inextricably linked. You cannot have the one without the other. We must watch. We must be vigilant as believers. And we must pray because of the enemy. And I trust and pray that you will be encouraged to think about this instruction. The Lord didn't leave his disciples to try and figure it out for themselves, but he gave them a very clear and very simple instruction to watch, to be vigilant, to stay awake, to remain awake, and to pray. Thank God we have the privilege of prayer. Thank God we have a great high priest who's at the Father's right hand, who intercedes for us, and at the Holy Spirit as well, he intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered. And let us be like Horatio Palmer, as he said, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And he will, brethren and sisters, this morning carry you through that time of temptation and that time of trial. And even as we have thought very briefly this morning about this theme of temptation, may the Lord help us. May the Lord encourage us and strengthen us through his word, and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. Amen.